Before I go to the Word of God and bring the message this morning, I would like to greet you on behalf of the Church of Putuasa. Many of you know about this ministry. Many of you pray specifically for missionaries in that place, and I know that you support. I want to help you on behalf of these believers, sisters and brothers from Romania, for your faithful support and prayers. And I look forward with great expectation this year. Joe Owens will come in about 3 weeks to Romania, and we will go to visit some orphanages from Romania. Then we will have Pastor Lance and Brother Roy coming and teaching in a conference, and actually celebrate together Easter this time in Romania. And then there is this large group. I don't know you all, but we will see in Romania. I can promise you that you will have a great, great time in my country. So please pray. Pray for these events. I believe the Lord will work mightily this year. And I look forward with really great, great expectation and eagerness. And now, let's open our Bibles in the book of Leviticus. And I hope you will not be scared when you hear about reading and preaching from this book this morning. We are going to read from Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 11. And we usually stand up in Romania when we read the Word of God. So this morning we are going to read it in a Romanian style. So let's stand up and read the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 9, chapter 10, from verse 1. The word of God says that Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy, and in the sight of my people I will be honored.' Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Azio, and said to them, 'Come here, carry out your cousins out of the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary.' So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Itamar, 'You do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, and you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives and all the house of Israel may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you.' So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You must distinguish And pay attention to this. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And you must teach the Israelites all the decrees of the Lord that the Lord has given them through Moses. This is the word of God. Amen. Please may be sitting. I have to try to anticipate in some ways if the generations that come and raise right now, young people among you, teenagers, you teenagers, and children. I try to ask myself if you will be a generation with higher standards for the Lord than ourselves. Because if I try to compare a little bit how the history goes on, and I go back in my past, when I came to the Lord in communism, I have this feeling that the standards are not growing. The standards for living for God are going down. I feel that it's like the standards for God and living a holy life for the Lord, they are diminished in those days. And our society in various ways tries to push us and press us and makes us to lower the standards for living a holy life. And I hope this morning my message will try to counterbalance this tendency of lowering the standards, of diminishing the standards before the Lord. And I hope and I pray to the Lord that this morning the people of God in this place will be challenged to live a holy life. And for this, we go to read a very difficult text from the Bible. Along the narratives in the Bible, along the holy text in the Bible, the sacred text, there are some passages in the Bible that we read and we almost got scared. We see in some passages in the Bible that God acts apparently in His angerness. Apparently God is anger and He comes and He acts radically in that particular time and particular situation. So some theologians came and said, how should we read these texts? How should we read these narratives in the Bible? And you know very well, better than myself, that liberal theology, who had a very good context in America for development, they began to explain this text in a kind of mythological way, saying that these are just compilations in the Bible and they are not the sacred text. And they began to explain and they brought some kind of explanations by which they tried to say actually what we read is not exactly what we read. But this is the way in which we have to read those texts in the Bible. And it's interesting when we come in the book of Leviticus, we read about sacrifices, we read about celebrations, some would not be very delighted when they read this book. But all of a sudden, in the middle of this book, we come to read chapter 10, which is a narrative. And it looks very much like the narratives in Exodus or Numbers. It is an event taking place there, actually a tragedy. We have to remember that when we come in chapter 10 in the book of Leviticus, we are right by the end of the week when Aaron and his sons have been ordained in the ministry of being priests. Aaron as a high priest and his sons along with him, serving in this capacity. And what time for Aaron, the father. What delightful was for him to see that he was ordained as high priest and also his sons to be around him in this ministry. What father do not want that his son be a preacher or be a minister and serve the Lord? And Aaron was delighted. 7 days have been put aside for this special time of ordination and celebration. And by the end of this time, the 8th day is the day when this tragedy takes place. The Bible tells us that the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, took the censers, put fire in them, and got in the tent in the holy place. And this was not commanded by the Lord. Now, liberal theologians, they come to this text and they say, wow, it's difficult. And they try to find a different explanation to this. For example, one friend of Albert Einstein, by his name Emmanuel Velikovsky, he reads this text and he says that what actually happened was that the two sons of Aaron actually tried to use a kind of oil from the Middle East, and they didn't know the properties of that oil. So whenever they used the oil and got into the holy place and put fire on that oil so that they wanted to bring the offering before the Lord, the sacrifice before the Lord, that oil had a kind of explosive properties. So they put a fire and that oil exploded, and the two sons of Aaron died in that explosion. That is Emmanuel Velikovsky's explanation. But we have eyes. And when we read this word, we know for sure that in that particular place, the Lord has punished them. It was a fire that came from the Lord, because these two sons have not done what the Lord has asked. Now, I was talking with Brother Dan Owens, because he's teaching through the book of Leviticus in his class. And we noticed that the Lord requested that Aaron and his sons to not consume wine or alcohol, because they were set apart in this special ministry. And Dan said maybe they went in the tent being drunk. It might be. But my feeling is that the two sons of Aaron, when they saw that they are in that place, clothed and being before the people, their pride began to scratch them. And they began to feel that they are somebody in the middle of the people of Israel. And that pride cannot stand before the Lord. I believe it was pride. And there is, brothers and sisters, there is a principle in this place that I learned. Privileges are not to be taken lightly. Sometimes we have been blessed to have so many privileges from the Lord, and we do not pay attention that that's a blessing for the Lord, from the Lord. And we have to honor the Lord, because He is the one that gives us privileges to serve Him, to know Him, to worship with His people. So, I feel that the two sons of Aaron, they have not paid attention what privilege they have to serve the Lord. To be in that place, to represent the people of God before the Almighty God. And they somehow claimed that privilege of being there on their own, like they have been somebody. But what is particularly interesting in this place is the way Aaron reacts. I remember a similar experience that we had in my hometown area. It happened one day a few years ago when a father went with his son to the church, and during the service, all of a sudden, being summer, a storm, a powerful rain came, and they have been inside during the service, and by the time when the sermon was over, the rain stopped and a beautiful sun arose. And everybody went home, you know, that fresh air after the rain. And this father with his son, they went home, and you know, children, they like to look for puddles of water and jump and skip in them. And this boy of about 10 years old, he went along the sidewalk on the place where cars are going back and forth, and he was looking for these puddles of water and just jumping from one to another. And all of a sudden, when he arrived in a place where was an electrical pole, all of a sudden he burst in fire. And his father, when he saw that, he tried to get him out, but he felt the force of electricity pulling him back, and he had to see how his sons died burning with a blue flame, in blue flames. It was just terrible. People have been shocked, and imagine how difficult it was at the funeral for our church to have a message. Now something like that happened there in that particular situation when Aaron saw his sons dying, being consumed by fire. And he probably went to Moses and said, "Moses, what's going on here? I don't understand, God." And Moses probably tried to explain him and said, "Aaron, can you remember what the Lord said when you have been ordained? Can you remember that He said, I will be sanctified and glorified in front of my people? Could you remember that, Aaron?" And Aaron's reaction, if you read in the Bible, is this. A small phrase, a small sentence. Aaron remained silent. And my dear, that happens any time when we start arguing with the Lord or thinking that He is wrong in His ways. No, He's not. Because these liberal theologians that teach you in America, they never look at the sin of the people. They always try to justify the people and almost put a blame on the Lord. But in this case, and so many other cases, it was not the Lord who was guilty. It was Nadab and Abihu, and the Lord was justified and right in what He did. We remember then about Asa. Remember about him? When David came to be king in Israel, there were two desires that David had. First, to bring the Ark of the Covenant. He said, "I saw that the Ark of the Covenant blessed the house of Obed." And he said, "I'm going to get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it in the house of the Lord. Bring it in my house and I will be blessed. My house will be blessed." That was his first desire. And the second desire, he said, "I'm going to build a house for the Lord." And when he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord said, David, not like that. And then when he wanted to build a house for the Lord told David, not now. So David served the Lord. He was a man after God's heart, but he couldn't accomplish what he wanted. There will be many things in life that we want, and we will not accomplish. But you know what? We will be in God's will. And God, in His providence, will accomplish His plans in our life. And then the Lord says, go in that place, get the bodies, and put them outside of the camp. I don't want to see anything here. Because this case was very similar with Uzzah. What happened in those cases? Let's think of, about Uzzah. They were going with the Ark of the Covenant, and all of a sudden Uzzah touched the Ark. I don't know, it was maybe a situation in which the Ark was about to fall, and Uzzah tried to put it back on that machine, or whatever it was they used. What? Carter, okay. And the liberal theologians, they say that Uzzah actually knew very well how to work with the holy things, and he, by instinct, that he tried to put it back, and he realized what he did, and he died instantly because of a heart attack. He was so scared realizing what he did. Now, Jonathan Edwards comments this passage, and he says, no, 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 no. Uzzah thought that his hand is more pure than the earth on which the ark could have fallen. He thought that his hand is less infected by sin, and he touched the ark. But you know what profanes God's holiness is not the earth, because the earth listens what God says. But what profanes God's glory is man who is proud in his heart and loves sins and drinks sins like water and goes to sources of joy like cracked springs and drinks from there, thinking that that will bring joy to them. But God is to be sanctified. God is to be glorified. We are called, my dears, to live for God at a high standard. The church is called to represent God in this world. And even we are in communism, even we are in democracy, we are trapped. We are always hunted, and you have to be aware of this. The world has different ways in which they want to trap you, to catch you, and make you to lower the standards. And this message reminds us that we have to live a holy life, to make a difference between what is holy and what is unholy, and to stay before the Lord and live for Him according to the privilege that it was given to us. This is a challenge that the Lord has for us in this generation. This is a challenge for you young people, teenagers and children. You have to live a life worthy of the Lord. And maybe we remember this verse in Colossians when Paul writes to the church in Colossae, saying, after he greets them in chapter 1 and appreciates their love and faith and hope, in verse 9 he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and please pay attention to this verse. And we pray this in order that you may live, how? What? You may live a life worthy of the Lord. You may live a life worthy of whom? Of the Lord. My dears, our standards are not the standards of a certain church. Our standards are not the standards of a certain philosophy. Our standards are not the standards of a certain psychological program. Our standards in living a holy life for God is God Himself. We have to look to God to see His holiness, because the Bible says, be holy because I am holy. And I want to illustrate this with two examples. We Romanians love soccer. I try to get accustomed with American sports, but I am so sorry. I cannot cope with that. I've been to see baseball. I've been with some of you guys at Astros to see baseball there. I wanted to be involved in that. Like I watch soccer, and it was like 3 hours, quite boring for me. Really. Now, I noticed something, that people were eating faster than the players were playing on the field. It was relaxing, and now when I watch soccer, it's really involving. I mean, I see the ball going back and forth, and I am involved in that. My heart is beating, and I am there all the time. Now, you know, in my home area, we don't have a big team, big soccer team. There are just some guys playing, and they represent somehow the city, but they don't play really well. Imagine that a great coach from Europe, let's say Real Madrid or Barcelona, the great teams in Europe, lot of money. He comes to my home city, and he watches these guys playing. Terrible. It's not football, there's not soccer. It's just play soccer. He's supposed to play soccer. And all of a sudden he says, well, I'm going to do something unusual. And he says he sees a player there playing, but not really playing well, and he says, I'm going to take this young man and put in my team in Real Madrid, to play for Real Madrid. So he takes this man, this player, and he puts to play with the big players of Real Madrid team. Now, let me ask you, how do you think he's going to play? You think he's going to play like in Zalo, my hometown, like just faking or supposing that he plays? Oh, no. Why? Other standards. You know? The standards have been changed. And he plays with these big names, big guys, and he determines himself to play really well. He will do his best. Why? Because it was given a privilege to him. It was given an honor to him to play in a special team. What's the point here? Once you have been in this world, living in sin, loving sin, drinking sin, eating sin, and you are lost. And God gave you this great privilege to be part of His church and be part of this team in Harvest Bible Church. This is a privilege, my dear. This is a great privilege. And there is a principle here that I want to learn this morning. And this principle says this. Privileges or a status requires a standard. Your status, the status, requires a standard. You are part of this team. You've been blessed to be part of this team. The church not is a train station to come and live like that. No, my dears. Pray for the Lord. Be part of this team. Love each other and work for the Lord and live a holy life for the Lord. And I will end with another example that was really relevant for my life. You know, in school I was a good student. I really loved to study. I was in communism when I was in school. And I studied hard. And I liked mathematics. Well, you say maths, right? Mathematics. I studied hard. I had straight A's. My grades ranged between A minus and A plus in mathematics. Now, when I went to high school, I thought that I really know mathematics. So I thought that I would be the best in my class. But we started classes and I had a professor in mathematics that was a kind of combination between agony and ecstasy. I was excited and I was frightened by him, because he was doing something like that. He was coming in class and he looked to us and he said, "Todar, say me that definition." So the second or third class, he called me to say a definition. I stood up and I said, I thought it was good, but it was not really good. So he said, "Sit down, 4. Now 4 means F. So I got my first F, which was a nightmare. I cried for days. Eventually, nobody dies from an F. But after a week, I heard my name again. "Prodan, say the definition of the injective function." I was like, I knew it, like our Father who art in heaven, you know, the prayer. I tried to say it well. I missed it, a little bit. And he said, "Sit down, F minus." And then, again, I got a 2, which was a kind of minus, minus, minus F. Something like, I was destroyed. I mean, I didn't know what happens with me. And I prayed and I said, "Lord, have mercy. Now, my only consolation was that everybody was between F minus minus and F. I said, "Okay, everybody is there, so relax." Not really, because we are about to end that semester and I was to miss my class. But then in the last class, even though we worked so hard, in the last class the teacher came and looked at us and said, "Now I'm going to fix you." And he began to give A's. I got like 5 A's. But I didn't enjoy any A, but I felt any F. And then, you know, when he finished, he fixed us. I ended up with a C, others with a D. But everybody was around that area. When he finished, he looked at us and he said, "Hey, guys, you're not anymore in the 8th grade or school. You are in high school now. And you are studying computers. And for that, the standards are not here where you are. The standards are here. And I'm going to bring you from here, right here, even though that means suffering for you. So, see you next semester." So we learned something. We learned the principle. Privileges. We've been a class studying computers. Privileges. They require a standard. So, for the Church of Christ, the standard is the Lord Himself. Live a life worthy
of the Lord.
Live a holy life. Don't play with sin. Don't have low standards. My dears, have high standards for the Lord. And the Lord will honor your house, your family. The Lord will take care of everything you need. And that will be the bonus given to you. Matthew 6:33. That will be the bonus. So, my encouragement for you is live a life worthy of the Lord. Standards require status require a standard. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.
Thank you.